All right, I want to continue our teachings of prayer. I think about something, I say, hey, boy, what are you doing? And I just realize what I'm doing simply, all right, is trying to form real Christian habits into people. What did I call it? Forming what? Real Christian habits. Okay, that's what we're trying to do, form real Christian habits. A lot of habits that people have are not Christian. Some of them, like I say all the time, are based on the history of idolatry. Now, what I want to do today, so you know, last time I said I would do it, talk about learning and praying or something like that. Yes. But this is the concept behind it. All right, this is the idea behind that issue. You see, God has a thought process. There's a way he thinks. You know, if you read that book of Romans chapter 12, he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me explain the meaning of that word, mind, again. Mind means the way you interpret things, the way you perceive things. You know, once I read in one book, I think a psychology book, and, you know, they drew a line. And the edges of the lines were the boundaries of that is at the edge. You will see what was marking the end was like arrowheads, you understand? So two lines side by side, one, the boundaries were arrowheads facing outward, and the other one, they were arrowheads facing inward. Now, try and just imagine it in your mind. And I just look at it and say, okay, which of the lines are longer? Which one is longer of the two lines? There were two of them. Which one of the two lines is longer? And most people always will interpret the one that has the arrowheads facing outward as being longer. And now, please, I'm going somewhere. And look, 99% of people interpret them, those ones as being longer. But the issue is that they said that the lines were exactly the same. All they had to do was measure it, they were exactly the same length. So why do you misinterpret what you are seeing? The simple reason was because of the kind of environment you grew up in. They said if they did that same experiment amongst people in villages that had round huts, that is, their huts were round, they never missed it. The lines to them looked the same. The basic issue, all right, is just that, well, just for those who are wondering what I'm talking about, is because of your way, if you live where there are angles, if your walls are the type we have here and the pillars, your experience of seeing straight lines and edges forms the way by which you interpret lines that are on paper. So if you look, when you see those things, they just look like corners of walls. And one of them will look like it's closer. So even though your mind, the lines are the same length, but your interpretation is that this one must be longer because it's a closer wall. So for it to look the same length as the other one, it's because the other one is farther away. You know, there's a way the thing just, your brain just interpreted the matter. What I'm trying to bring out from there is the fact that anything you see in life, there's always something that helps you interpret it. Like I say all the time, a typical Nigerian, and I think most Africans are like that, if something goes wrong, somebody is responsible. They grew up like that. They were formed like that. So ministries build, you know, large congregations around a simple but wrong doctrine that you have problems with enemies. Now, listen, let me just say something to you. Don't think that it's about our ability to understand deliverance. It's all a joke. Professor Ayo Beniti, he wrote an article long ago. In fact, he was internationally renowned for it, what he called psychotherapy through environmental manipulation. And it was based on one simple principle, that the primary thing in the heart of an African is to be at peace with his neighbor. That was not Christianity. That was just psychiatry. That was the psychology. The man was saying that the primary problem in the mind of an African is to be at peace with his neighbor. So anytime somebody's having problems, all right, emotional problems, psychological problems, you know, when they had to do psychotherapy, one of the things they check the environment, that what is causing this kind of stress. And if it's a white man, they check something else. But if it's a black man, they start checking that he is quarreling with his neighbor. Now, it's in his mind. He grew up like that. So when he wants to pray, if he has a problem, it's everybody that's saying, I will not prosper. Nobody is saying you will not prosper. They don't have their time. They have their own problems with their own poverty. Are you getting my point? That's the thing, you know? I mean, you see a man misbehaving, people around say that somebody is worrying him. Nobody is worrying him. The man has his own issues. Nobody is worrying him. If his business is not doing well, the people who are saying that my business will not do well, meanwhile, people don't even notice that he's there. It's an African thing. If his tire leaks, Holy Ghost fire against the leaking tire demons. Meanwhile, the demons. So when we gather in those kind of congregations, morning till night, we are praying about what? Enemies. Enemies. And this, listen, the issue is the background of, is the way the African man thinks. So he interprets all the scriptures in his idolatrous mind, you understand? He interprets all the scriptures with that same history, the mentality of his people, that the problem is spiritual enemies. The problem is mommy water spirit. The problem is spirit husband. Some of these husbands don't exist in the realm of the spirit. If somebody dies, I mean, it's traditional African thing. They want to see who's responsible. Somebody must be responsible. Okay, so when an old man dies, who's responsible? Who's responsible? But another set of people now, everything in life, all right, there's a balance, okay? There are some people who don't believe that anything spiritual exists. That's another extreme. What I want to just bring out is this. When we are praying, therefore, that's why I'm bringing that matter up. I said I'm trying to form a Christian habit. Yes, I want us to reason like believers. I want us to think. That's why we keep on talking and talking and talking. For example, anybody who believes, I've seen people say that, they said it is that woman next door. Listen, if you come now and show me a picture of people gathered around my photograph, and they are pouring things on it, cracking eggs, sacrificing chicken. God is my witness, I'm not lying about what I'm saying. I'll just laugh and go and sleep. You know why? Because they are, listen, those who feel they are being afflicted have the same mind as those who are trying to afflict me. Both of them are confused. I don't know whether I get my point. Those ones, they don't know they don't have the power, so they are wasting time. So I will laugh and go and sleep. The same way I laugh at those who think people are, who are thinking that people are afflicting them, it is the same way I laugh at those who are sitting and trying to afflict somebody else. Not because spiritual things don't exist, they exist. But because this is Banky Christ, you understand what I'm saying? There is Jesus Christ, that's the first man that opened the door. Everyone that believes walks into that same realm, and it's called Christ, a realm of Christ. So all those things, na joke. Therefore, my prayers, therefore, are not centered around, you don't like me, you like me. You like me, you don't like me. It's your personal issue. In fact, you should like me. That's the only way I can bless you. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So you see, we don't form prayer points, therefore, all right, as Christians, on African mythology. We don't form prayer points based on the ignorance of people around us. We don't form prayer points based on the confusion of the society. So when we want to form our prayer points, we form them according to the word of God. Let's read one scripture to start today, all right? I think, let me title my message today. Well, I call it Learning and Praying. Or you can give it a subtitle, Praying According to the Will of God. God has a will, amen? I say it all the time, we can know the will of God. The book of 1 John, I'm going to read from chapter 5. Let me start from verse 13. Where I'm going, again, is verse 14. Just want to read in context. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, sometimes people have things, they don't realize they have them. That's why you have to tell them. And that's why we keep teaching and teaching. All right? And this is the confidence we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Now, please notice that He says that God has a will, and the answer to prayer is predicated upon the concordance of our prayer with the will of God. If our prayer agrees with the will of God, then we are assured that He has heard us. And if we know that He has heard us, then we are assured that we have the answer. Now, this is what the problem is a lot of times. How do I know which one is the will of God? How do I know what I want is the will of God? Please, read another scripture quickly, the book of John chapter 15. I want to read verse 7, but let me back up a bit. He said from verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. That is, you have been brought into this realm of purity because you believed in my word. That's what he was saying. Now, following that, he says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, please note that verse 7, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. It is a conscious effort to abide. It is. You can't, it's not, the history cannot keep you in Christianity. Let me say it again and again, that wilderness is like this. You either reach the promised land or you die inside the wilderness. Once you get out of Egypt, please, you must not slow down, you must not look back until you have entered into the promised land. The interesting thing is, you know, it can be very sad, but just a matter of fact, the man who has done all the great, great work for God, if while doing the work, he's not careful to ensure that he's abiding, and this is how we abide. We abide by what? His words. By his words abiding in us. We don't abide by agidi, you know what I mean? I'm not going to agree. I will just abide. No. You abide only by ensuring that his word abides in you. That's the way it is. Listen, you can't pray yourself into abiding. The only way you can abide is if his word abides in you. And spiritual things are dynamic. You know, I don't know whether I gave a teaching recently, but I wrote an article long ago. I said, on what do you stand? The weight of words that carried you 10 years ago, they are not sufficient for today. They are not. Just like a cot that you put your baby in, bring him 10 years later, you know, go walk. You are getting the principle. The only thing you can do is to constantly feed on God's word. And the more you feed on it, the more you can discover in the word of God. And the stronger the amount of things that you are putting out of that word to fill your life. It's a continuous process. There's nothing like, those days. They've gone. They're not helping you today. Any help, all right, that they will be able to render, or they might be able to render today, can only be energized by what you are feeding on today. And you know what Paul said? If you think you are standing, take heed. That is, there's nothing like, I don't believe a man did that. And the issue, just make sure you're not the next man that does it. That's what we're saying. And the only way you will be, you will ensure that you are not the woman to do it again, is by simply ensuring that the word constantly abides in you. That's it. First person I heard say this was something like this. R.B. Thames, I was reading one of his books. When he said it, I said, impossible. He said, a Christian that's walking away from the grace of God can commit murder. So just, he said, leave that one. I was a young boy. He said, what do you mean? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can't kill somebody. But the man said, listen, that if a man falls away from grace, there's nothing he can't do. Now, we're talking about the will of God now, learning and praying. God has a will in prayer. He does. God has a will. That is, everything in life, every situation, every desire, every need, every demand, whatever it is, God has a will. And what is a will? A will means there's a way he wants it to be. So, for example, assume, just to make it easy, I am asking for a Bible, all right, brown, thick, like this, New American Standard. There is a will concerning whether I should have it or I shouldn't have it. Except that Jesus did not put that qualification when he was speaking, when we read from this John chapter 15. He just said, whatever you ask, he said, ask whatever you wish. That's how he said it. Whatever you wish, ask. That's in verse 7. And it shall be done for you. In that first John chapter 5 we read, he said, that asking must be according to the will of God. And since Jesus did not say it like that, just look at the previous portion of the Bible, of that verse. He put it this way. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, you know I said that we're trying to teach what? A Christian habit, a Christian culture, a Christian mind. That word mind, it said be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mind describes how you interpret things. As I was trying to explain earlier. That is, if, you know, one that's very common, there's one of my colleagues, I laugh about it all the time, all right? If he interprets everything based on clan, tribe, you know, that's my point. If I'm passing, I give somebody maybe 1,000 around the road. His interpretation is that, okay, his brother is a cousin to the grandfather of the auntie of the first wife of this. The only connection for him, the only explanation for your generosity, you must be from the same clan. So if he applies for a job and he is denied, he will go and check the village the MD is from. And he will have an explanation for why he didn't get the job. Because the village of that MD and his village quarreled like 250 years ago. And the reconciliation they tried 150 years ago did not work. It's not what they call mind. That is his mind. And I've had discussion, arguments sometimes with people. And they say, this is why this is happening. I say, listen, it is because of your own mind. It is not because you have evidence to support what you are saying, but it's because of what? Your own mind. That is why when people are having problems in life, and I was saying earlier, their mind starts asking, who is responsible? I've been trying to make money, I have not made it. Who is responsible? That's their mind. You understand my point? Now, when Jesus said, you ask whatever you wish, it will be done to you, for you. The first thing he said is this, if my words abide in you. And John said, if we ask according to his will. You know what both of them were saying? All right? This is simple. Don't forget, this is a simple summary. Don't forget that John learned directly. All right? Directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. So he knew what he was saying when he said that. So what he was saying in effect is this. Now, before I say what he was saying, let me say this so that it makes it easy for me to explain. The way we think, in fact, a friend of mine, he said that some of the men that have serious marriage problems, you know, because that thing I told you about caused us to discuss extensively. He said some of those men were the men who all this one of, they didn't know how to chase a woman, you know. I'm not saying that they were bad, but I mean that it was not necessary. They knew how to pray. Why chase a woman when you can pray about the matter? The Lord is good. See, what am I saying? I'll explain. Some of us will go and say, Sister Hannah, how far now? They talk. They didn't have time for that. They will go and pray until the Lord will speak. And when they come out from the place the Lord has spoken, they identify the person the Lord spoke about. Now that person too will pray. And in agreement, they will find the will of God. And they will marry. And 20 years later, they are divorcing. Now, my friend said, this is strange. Now listen, there are some people who are confused as to the will of God. They were not confused. When the Lord didn't want to speak, they kept on knocking until to have peace of mind. The Lord had to talk. Who is your will? It's okay, Papa God, we'll go fast until our stomach perforates. So you might reveal. So God said, okay, before this boy kills himself, Gabriel, go and tell him he shall marry Sister Angela. 20 years later, 15 years later, the whole thing has come to an end. The question is it that the Lord did not speak? Now, let's not discuss whether he spoke or not. What I want to discuss is his speaking does not guarantee success. That speaking only helped you identify. Don't be so. He didn't even say that you have a ceremony. If you can finish speaking and say, Lord, that your word was good yesterday, but I don't want to marry again. He has to find another man. For the person who spoke, now you get what I'm trying to explain. The speaking was identified at the beginning. You are clean because of that word. You are no longer single because of that word. But to have success in that thing, you must what? Abide. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So they know the will of God, it appears. But abiding, all right, is what produces success in that which they found out at the beginning. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. People spend a lot of time trying to say, okay, what is the will of God about this matter? Does God want me to have this Bible or not? But Jesus said that's not how it works. That the question of does the Lord want me to have the Bible or not does not arise if you wish for the Bible when the word is abiding in you. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. That is, now, it's not, the Lord doesn't have to come up and say, hey, my son. In fact, there's something that comes to my mind all the time, okay? When I'm praying about something. In fact, I told you that one just some time ago. I was thinking, that, oh, should I give this person this money or not? Oh, as I praying in my heart, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, should I give this person the money, Father, in that? I told myself, all right? Maybe it's the Holy Spirit. All I know is that, look, if you want to give, give this prayer. This prayer is unnecessary. This one of praying. Did somebody come to harass you for the money? No. You woke up one day, identified that this thing could be done, and you took money in your heart to give. And started praying again, God, should I give the money? So, boy, if you won't give, give. Stop disturbing heaven. There are more crucial things to handle than you're trying to decide whether you should let money go. It's not money. You're not saying, should I pack up the ministry and leave Enugu and go to Oka? It is whether you should give somebody money or you shouldn't give somebody money. And you are praying about it. People think it's a mark of spirituality. It is not a mark of spirituality. It's a simple sign that the word is not abiding enough. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. That is, if the word is abiding, what the Lord Jesus was saying is simple. The will of God will manifest as a wish. You know, he said, ask whatever you do, what you wish. You know, I've told this story many, many times. If it's in the book, should I say yes? One brother asked me, how did God speak to you? He said, Pastor Bank, did God speak to you about the woman you married? Of course, I was married by that time. I said yes. He said, how did he say it? I said, the officiating minister said, I pronounce you man and wife. The guy laughed so hard, he almost fell down. That is, his name is Chooks. He's a doctor in New York now. He laughed so hard, he almost fell down. He was sitting on the stool. Oh, you're expecting to hear. And like I said in that book, I said to him straight, I said, listen, I married the woman I liked. Ah, you're a man of God. You know the will of God. That's what I'm discussing. What is the will of God? The will of God is not to do shakabara, and the Lord shows you a picture. Sometimes he does. It is not common, but sometimes he does. But what really is the will of God? It is when the word is abiding in me. Are you getting my point? That is the will of God. That is, like I said then in that book, that I say, okay, I married the woman I like. So I explained in one chapter, what does it mean to marry the woman I like? I said, first, let's discuss, what kind of woman did I like? Then I began to give the abiding word criteria for the kind of woman I liked. Now, the point I'm making is, let me tell you the truth. It has happened to me before, you know? You like somebody. The person talk once. I still remember this. I told the story in the book. Person talk once. All the liking melted. You know what they call melt? It disappeared. Why? Because like I said, I believe and you are a witness that I'm a teacher of the word. I'm called by God to teach his word. I said one person that must agree with me is the wife I'm going to marry. And I shared the word with a young woman once. And she looked and just take what they call a broom, sweep the anointing. Say, I beg, oh God, that's your own. Carry. I have my own opinion. The Holy Spirit doesn't need to come and tell me, say, Banky, you see, I don't want you to go there. I said, Lord, listen, don't worry, I know. It's obvious. I don't need anybody to come and manifest that to me again. I'm aware. Why? Because the word abiding in me made it clear that you won't go anywhere in ministry with that kind of wife. You can't. It's not possible. And since ministry was important to me, forget it. I know that there are things that are not negotiable. No. Oh, God. Listen. All this sort of people telling that this is the reason why, it's because you don't have a direction in life. There's nothing that is propelling you. If you had a place you wanted to go, you'll be careful the kind of people you are linking hands with. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. That's what I mean by the will of God coming to you because you are abiding. That's my very good illustration there. Let's take the general thing and let's get back to it. So the Lord Jesus said, what do you do? If my word abides in you, listen, it is not everything. You know, as young children, as young men, I remember those days, there are things we wanted. I see some of those things these days. And I'll look and say, do you know there was a time I thought that if I had money, this is what I would be buying. You know, let me give you an example. When I was a child, I thought that when I grow up, I would buy a fridge and fry meat in 2 layers and fry fish in 2 layers. I still remember very well as a little boy thinking about it. Why? Because when they'll be cooking in the house, and when the meat is frying, you know, we'll be passing there up and down, hoping that my mother will offer something, you understand? Or one of the women in the house will offer something. So, and they used to do, you know, offer periodically. And the meat had a different taste when it had not yet entered the soup. You understand what I'm saying? So one day I decided that once I start working, I am buying a fridge. And they are going to fry meat and fry fish, and they are going to be in layers. I still remember the thought. But life is abiding in me now. I know the difference. Now, if I want to fry a shark and fry a cow, I think I can afford to do it. But now, I'll tell my wife, please, don't fry my fish. I don't want it fried. You know, frying it means I take in a lot of oil. You know, I don't want to, you know, you're making me, I want to be fat. It's okay. Meat, I don't want it. I went to eat my friends the other day. They served us meat and we left some behind. You know, men just say, no, this one has some fire. You push it beside and you eat the one you want to, and you get up and you walk away. When we're children, walk away from what? Walking away from anything. Not walking away. Hey, I went to visit somebody yesterday. And we sat there. At the end of the day, they brought, you know, brought corn. You know, just entertaining us. Day before yesterday, brought corn, brought this. Then they now brought fried chicken. I looked at the chicken. I looked at the person beside me and said, I beg, you go chop chicken. Say yes. I said, thank you. Because I didn't know how to tell the host to come and remove the chicken they had served. So I quickly gave it to the person. Okay, please, eat this one. Then, I didn't believe that time will ever come. The Lord is good. What I'm going to say is this. A lot of the desires we have in life, let me put it like this, is lack of experience in the Word of God. Just like lack of experience in life made me as a little boy, I was dreaming of frying fish and frying meat and stocking a fridge with it and just coming from work and eating and eating and eating and eating. As I was growing up, I realized, oh boy, the kingdom of God is not fish and meat. There are things that are more important than fish and meat. In the same manner, as you begin to feed upon the Word of God, there are certain things that are not prayer points for you anymore. It doesn't mean you have them. You just don't know how to concern yourself with them. I told you once, a young man wrote me and said that he needed money urgently. Well, I wanted to process a Canadian visa, I remember, that the door just opened. And when I finished reading it, I was angry. That's the summary of it. That what kind of stupidity is this? If that young man written me a mail and said, sir, I'm having problems with my project. I need money. Because he was in his penultimate year for graduating in engineering in a Nigerian university. I said, you're about to walk away from school. And I'm supposed to cooperate with you. But because I never, see, at that time, I don't know whether it ever entered, but it had been removed, if it ever entered, from my eyes that promotion is from the east or the west or from the south. I already knew that God is judge. So because of that, I didn't see a young man departing from school because he got a visa as breakthrough. What does that mean? If he had come to me and said, let us join hands to pray, I'll have told him I don't have time. So let us pray that they will give. I said, give you what? I told you, look, there are prayer points. One day I went to preach in a particular church. I was preaching and preaching. I said, listen, let me pray for you. Nobody, that money you are looking for to start your business, may nobody give it to you. See, the way you are quiet like this, that's how the whole church was quiet. And they didn't hear me. I said, you are looking for money to start your business. In Jesus' name, you won't find it. In Jesus, nobody will give it to you. This amen will not be by force. But I had my reason. I was trying to explain a principle. For that, look, since then till now, I still don't understand. I still don't agree with people that you should sell your best right. My friend that I said, who visited us, we're talking this morning, all right? And he said the average lifespan of a founding CEO, all right, in at least among the venture capitalists, in the, well, this is how it is. When you have an idea, a venture capitalist will give you money. He said, typically they fire you on the average after 18 months on your own idea. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is, you say, look, we can be making these t-shirts and putting this and that. And so it's not a very nice idea. So you need money. So you work to guys who have money. They give you money to start. Now, usually their money goes with control. And once the idea settles, they say on the average, they fire you 18 months after the business takes off. How many of you know of Steve Jobs? You know, he was fired from Apple. He and his friend started Apple. One day, they looked at him and fired him. Drove him away from the company. He didn't own stock, nothing. That was his end of his life in Apple. It was when Apple crashed totally that Bill Gates used their nose to rub the mud. Somebody said, oh boy, let's call that man back. They now called him back, and then he took over Apple, released his iMac, released the, what do you call it, iPod, then released, you know, kept on releasing this, finally came up with the iPhone, and then the iPad. Now, the point I'm making is, all right, let's not even talk about it today. The point is that somebody fired him one day. Let's just use natural things to just, let's make it simplistic. Assuming he was not fired that time, of course, life is more complex than that. But just assume he was not fired than that, and it was just a simple graph we're plotting. That means Apple would have done far better than it's doing. Of course, that's not really like that. But I'm going to bring an issue here. That you see, that's why Henry Ford refused to borrow money. He hated bankers. Henry Ford, the man disliked bankers. You know why? He said that business is not about money. So he didn't like to borrow money. He said money is a tool. That is like if you need to repair your car, you get a hammer to hammer something. He said, if you want to start a business, you get money to hammer something. That the business is not supposed to be making money. Money is one of the tools for making the business. That business is about blessing people. It's about being productive. That the product of the business is the primary thing. So you shouldn't kill the business so as to make money. But the typical banker had the mentality, we'll give you money. Like just now, my wife gave somebody a ride in our car. And they say, hey, they said we should go and look for people to borrow. Madam, come and borrow money now. Come on, let's give you a loan. I don't need money. See this kind of wickedness in life. I don't need your loan. Why are you offering to me? You thief. You thief. You want to put me in bondage. You understand my point? So those are the things I put together that day. And I said, listen, if you are looking for somebody to come and put money in your business, I said, may God not let them give it to you. And like I say all the time, if you find it easy to be looking for those who will put money, you will find it hard to decode serious wisdom to use to solve your problems. Why did I talk about that? Because when I was preaching that and I was saying it, I meant it. Why did I mean it? Why did I say it? Because I have studied the word of God enough to know that he says, send us help from above. Vain is the help of man. Now, what does that tell you therefore? I would not be starting the business. And you see me join my hand with my wife. In the name of Jesus Christ, hey Lord, tomorrow we are going out to go and look for investors in this business. Let them come. Let them come. Let them come. Let them come. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. That is for me. I won't pray that prayer. It's not in accordance with the will of God. I will pray for money if I need money. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for money. Please, you have to hear me carefully. But there's a prayer in which, you know, I gave this example before. A young man is praying, Father God, this is my brother. He must be saved. He must be saved. He's fasting and praying. The truth is that it's not his brother's soul that's the problem. The brother is rich. He's in school. The brother doesn't like him because he's SU. For that reason, things are rough. I don't know whether I get the point. You are in school. They say, bring money. And your brother says, don't mind him. That boy, all he's ever doing is going to church, so it doesn't flow. You are praying for his salvation. People think you love him. You really don't love him. You can pray for him if you really love him, but a lot of people are praying like that. They don't, you know. People are praying, let my father be saved so that he'll stop persecuting me when I go to church. That's a very bad prayer point. Should endure persecution. Separate it from your father's salvation. I don't know what you're going to say. If you look at him and say, this man needs Jesus Christ, then that's a different matter. That is what? A different matter. I'm bringing an issue here. So what is the will of God in prayer like that? There are prayer points people bring. I say, no, that is not a prayer point. I gave you the example. A man came to me and said, pray for me. I said, what's the problem? He said that when I help people, they don't remember me. I'm like, what do you mean? What do you do? He said, I help politicians. I looked at him, may they forget you. You know, there are things I think, I don't say. What was what I thought in my heart? You see, this is your problem. Let's forget the word covetousness. Let's call it the proper word. You're a thief. Yes, you know, when you say things like this, you will repent fast. When you say covetousness, they think it's a, you know. That when you call somebody 419, and you say, oh, that boy is 419. Say, hey, he's 419. Then you go and meet him. 419, but how now? Call him a proper name. Say, that guy is a thief. But when you call him 419, you know, it's polished. Just by the way, do you know there are some boys who they allow their reputation to spread that they are 419 boys, and they are not. They are armed robbers. To explain the money they have, do you understand? They leak the gist in the community that they are doing 419. They're not doing 419. They carry guns at night. They rob people. But it's nice, no? When the guy they pass, say, man, that guy is a job man. That young boy says with envy, as if he's smart. He knows how to defraud those white moguls. Anyway, that's by the way. I know I digress a lot. The point, I told the guy, I looked at him, I said, you help politicians? You help politicians? I should not join hands to pray that the cross over your head that does not allow them to remember you to be broken, may it become stronger. That was the prayer I prayed for him. I didn't say it like that, you understand? I didn't say it like that. I told him this was what I said. I said, they will continue to forget you. It was a prophetic word. They will continue to forget you. Let me add some preaching to it. May they never remember you. The more you do, the less you see in helping them. Anyway, I said to him simply, what do you do normally when you are not helping politicians? He said, I teach in the secondary school. I said, you know, me, I have a passion for teaching. I said, wait, what have you ever brought up before God as a prayer point for your pupils, for your students? I stood with him for a few minutes and instructed him, said, but they don't pray like this. Are you getting my point? I said, they don't pray like this. This is that you come out in church, say, who needs this? Who has a special need? When I help people, they forget me. Go and read your Bible. Even Joseph, that goodly, you know what I mean by goodly now, his help was good and legitimate and righteous. They still forgot him, and it was from the hand of God. Why was he praying that prayer? He thought that was a way to breakthrough. Shortcut. Help politicians, they will make you counselor. Help politicians, they will make you special advisor to the counselor. Help politicians, maybe be special advisor to the local government chairman. And then they give you some money, you buy a car, and you will now come to church to do Thanksgiving. There are some kinds of Thanksgiving that God will just look at it, cut off, said, just accept the one for his life there, that is thanking God for keeping him alive. We'll take that one. All the other ones, give it to Satan. It's not us. We did not do it. His covetousness is leading him. Satan is setting him up for a big fall. He will soon fall. So when that man spoke to him that day, I said, no, I'm sorry. This is not a prayer point. I will not pray this prayer. It's a prayer, listen to this, against the will of God. There's a kind of prayer I'll pray for somebody like him. If he came up to me and said, sir, in life, I think I should financially prosper more than I'm prospering. I say, that one is there's nothing wrong with it. I said, okay, let us pray for you then. Father, in the name of Jesus, prosper him financially. Give him wisdom. Help him to be productive. Let him be a blessing to people. Then God will send him back to that same school, triple the anointing to teach upon his head. And he will go there and he will change the lives of people. The time will come, God will use one way or another, whichever way he chooses, to pour forth great financial blessings upon the man. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So when we're talking about the will of God, no, it's not always. There are times God reveals expressly that, yes, I want you to go to Niger. Please, don't go to Abba. That one happens. But when John was speaking, that was not what he was talking about. Because his brother James said it clearly. He said, we'll do this now. We'll do this tomorrow. He said, how do you know? And John was aware of that. What he was teaching is simple. There is a way of abiding in the will of God. Retraining your mind. There's a way you reason. You change the way you reason. Like I said just now, you, of course, you've heard me lead prayers here. I don't tell witches to die. I don't believe they are the cause of your problems. No. If I pray against wicked people, it's really about the nation, if you notice. Because as far as your own life is concerned, like that man said, anywhere they carry your name go, they go lost. As far as your life is concerned, you are secure. Amen? I said what? You are secure. There's no fight. All the people that said, I will not, look, have you ever heard me say, all those who are saying that I will not prosper in this life? It's like saying, all the leaves that blow across my gates, they will burn, they will burn, they will burn. They'll say, oh God, come. Are you all right? What is your problem with leaves blowing across your gate? If you don't like it, what do? You sweep it. As it's on the main road, how is it your business? It's just blowing across your gate. Like Ken Higgins said, a lot of prayers people pray, it's just like they just come to church and start shouting, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. He said that, and they do it the whole night. Well, because they are saying, in the name of Jesus, so all they are doing is, twinkle, twinkle, little star, in the name of Jesus, how I wonder what you are, in the name of Jesus, up above the world so high, in the name, and at the end of the day, say, all our enemies are dead. Yes, they were dead before they came to church. They died in Christ Jesus. You know what I'm going to explain? It is not that night's prayers that kill those enemies. One of the foolishest of foolish prayers that Christians pray is back to sender. What did I say? It's a foolish prayer. It's what? A foolish, it's an oppressed man prayer. You understand my point? A man who is oppressed in his mind, he believes he's still subject to the work of the devil. So he's afraid. Their prayers motivated purely by fear. All the arrows against me, back to sender. As a believer, are you saying that there can't be arrows against you? They went back to sender, I know. I will not make it a night prayer point. Yes. There's a general word of God concerning it. He said the wicked, they've drawn their bows. They want to shoot their arrows into the heart of the righteous. The Bible said their arrows will enter into their own hearts. It's a statement of fact. I will not use a whole night to be concerning myself about it. Many prayers are engineered by fear. Today, that man that did me work like this, the fingers we cut in the name of Jesus. That worker, that's the last worker he will ever do. You are afraid. You are afraid. No, really, you are afraid. If you were not afraid, you would not have noticed it. Do you get my point? He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's what I'm going to explain. When the word of God has filled you, it will just produce. Now, let me just say that, then we'll close. It will produce the wish in you. Now, when I say it will produce the wish now, like I was saying earlier, let me just illustration again. Once I was in school, a friend of mine and I were just talking. I said, if God says you should ask for something now, what do we ask for? We're students. What I expected was, we're supposed to buy two new shirts, you know, that kind of thing. I'll buy this kind of shoes, or I'll buy this kind of book, you know. We're students. Or give me some more money, may I go chop, you know, that kind of thing. That's what I expected. He said, I will ask him for $2 billion. This was 1989-90. Oh boy, what are you going to do with $2 billion? And he laughed. He said, that way I will never have to ask him again. I said, I don't know whether I told him this, but I remember I thought, he said, that's why he would never give it to you. You are begging him for independence of him. You understand my point? Now, God, I don't want to be dependent on you again in my life. So settle me now. Give me my inheritance. Let me go. You're a prodigal son. That's it. Give me my inheritance. I won't come out. You see what I'm saying? Now, there are Christians who pray that prayer. They pray. In fact, Let me say this one for those of us who are in ministry. There are those who pray very funny prayer. God, this is my business. Increase it, increase it, increase it. And you know what God is hearing? He wants to have a lot of money so that he can now go into ministry. So that his money will be plenty. I said, I'm going to go into ministry. I'm not going to beg anybody for money. Listen, in ministry, should you beg people for money? No. You should be dependent upon God, not upon your business. So every day he's praying. He has missed a point concerning the financing of ministry. If a man prays a prayer in which he's trying to today, by the answer to that prayer, secure his tomorrow, he has missed the will of God. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Listen, be careful. God reads your motives. He said, I, the Lord, I test the mind. I test it, I search it, I check. There are those who are praying, God, admission. I want this admission. I want to be able to study this in my PhD, and I want it to be in UK, in the name of Jesus. And as they are saying it, what God is hearing is, once I finish that one, I will come back. I won't get one nutty job like this. They will be paying me that kind $10,000 every month. In fact, 50. I've seen where they will get $25,000. That my PhD is the key to prosperity. So join with me. You don't hear all of that too. All you hear is, praise God, want to go for studies. And then they are praying. And God does not hear. Why? Not because PhD is against the will of God. Amen? It's not. But because security, all right, dependence on material things for security is against the will of God. So they are not asking in according to his will. They are asking outside his will. Listen, so the will is not about, should I get that PhD or not get it? It's at the back of my mind, why? What is pushing me? So somebody says that this PhD, is it the will of God? Somebody said, I prayed about it. In fact, that prayer, I tied God's hands to answer it with a seed. And when I woke up in the morning, and suddenly, as I was dreaming, I saw myself with a graduation cap. And when I saw the color, I realized that was the color that UNN uses for PhD, students, they call it. Yeah, they're also students. For you PhD students, they are just finishing. But there's one difference. I looked around and the land, there were a lot of white people. So I knew that could not have been in Nsukka. It couldn't have been in Nsukka. I just knew. And I woke up and said, yes, I have discovered the will of God. Your desire crystallized into a dream. It was not the will of God. You know, I told you before, some people say that they are pursuing me in my dream. Yes, if you are owing everybody, they will pursue you in your dream. Yes. Like I know it's in the Bible. The Bible says that if you are hungry and you go to sleep without eating, you will satisfy your soul in your dream. And you wake up again, you are still hungry. So some people that dream dreams, that say that's the will of God, is a fat lie. Sigmund Freud, when he was teaching psychoanalysis, he taught it. He used to do dream analysis so as to know what people are really desiring in the bottom of their hearts. Psychologists, they know it. If all your life you wanted to you wanted to go abroad, and then you sleep like this, your name will change to Lufthansa. As you are sleeping, you will snore Lufthansa. It's not God speaking to you. It's the things you have incubated, you have dreamt upon. The only place you can find expression, since you can't buy ticket, nobody has given you visa. If I can't go on the surface, I go in my sleep. It is not a sign of what the will of God. Be careful. When somebody says that, just come to have bamboozling you with dream that they dream. Did I say God doesn't speak through dreams? Did I say so? I didn't say so. Of course, he speaks through dreams. I'm just trying to say we should be careful. When he's talking about, should I get the PhD or not? It's not, did I dream about it? That's not the issue. It is God revealing in my heart to me why I want the PhD. Once, there's this man, what's his name? Was he general manager of General Electric, Jack Welch. Jack Welch had a PhD. It was Dr. Jack Welch. You know why? One day he was in a plane. Then he had an MSc. He was working in General Electric already. And on the plane, it was a company plane, so private plane, company plane. And so they came up to him and they said, Mr. Welch, what would you like? They went to another person. Mr. This, what would you like? Then they went to one of his guys there and said, Dr. Jim, what would you like? He said, that name sounds nice. That was all. As soon as the plane landed, he enrolled for PhD. After I got the PhD, he enjoyed the Dr. Welch for a while. Then after a while, I started feeling funny. That, what kind of funny title is this? Then he banned everybody from calling him Dr. Welch, and he never used that title or the degree again. It did not improve anything for him in his job. He got it because of vanity. What did I call it? Vanity. Some of us are praying prayers of vanity. Lord, you know, next year is the year of my wedding. You know, it will not be good now as a child of God to drive to the village. I want to go and tell them I'm married. I don't have a car. God says, what is bad about it? Ah, hey, I was there. The day Francis came to declare, he brought all the wine in his boot. Am I going to go there and bring my own wine at the back of Keke Napep? And the fellow is agonizing. In the name of Jesus. Because he's praying outside the will of God. He is praying the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That is his prayer. His prayer is called the pride of life. I cannot cooperate with him to massage his worldly ego. I can't. If his prayer for that motor car is what other people think of me, then I can't answer him. You are seeing what they call the will of God now. It's when the word abides in me, I know three things are in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and what? The pride of life. If you are because of any of these things, if you because of any one of them, you are doing anything, you are doing that thing out of the will of God. So two people can do the same thing. One is in the will of God. The other one is what? Out of the will of God. And it's the same thing they are doing. I told you as a minister, wait till I never get for advice. Pastor Vanki, you should be pastoring the church. I said, well, right now I have not been employed. All the places where I dropped my application, they have not come in for interview. I said, no. I mean, Kingdom World Ministries should become a church. So I said, why not? Why? Why should they be? What's wrong with it being what it is right now? And the answer always is, Well, not always. Half of the times. This is the one I want as an example. There's another answer that stemmed him because it's a good answer. But that's the one God will now reveal to you that it's not necessary. But this is a bad one that I don't need God to reveal. He has already revealed. It's written in black and white. They said, you know, when you pastor that church, the people will start bringing their tithes to the place. Right now, they don't bring it to. They carry it to their churches. They'll come, a man told me like that, they'll come and hear you free on Saturday. Then on Sunday, they'll carry the tithes to their churches. He said, the fact that God has sent us doesn't mean we shouldn't use our brain. No. We have to use our brain. I was looking at him and saying, okay, I don't get that kind of brain. My brain, you don't get that kind of connection. I only work like that. He said, you have to be wise. You have to be wise. He said, they said people are not loyal. Though. They are not loyal. They give their tithes and their offerings to their churches. And then, I was looking at him. There are prayers I don't pray. The other side, I said that the only thing they have said, which I have to think about and kill, you understand, is that they say, no, you know, you'll be able to help more people, you understand. They tried to explain that, and I had to analyze it. And having analyzed it, a friend of mine, Topsy and I, we sat down, analyzed it, and said, Banky, forget, it's not necessary. Forget what they are talking about, all right, it's not necessary. But let's leave that one. But the people that say that, no, that way you get more money. That is, we will open a church so as to get more money. That is against what? The will of God. He gives men of God brain tumors. I'm telling you. You cannot open a church so you can raise more money. It's not allowed. In fact, you are not allowed to do anything as a preacher purely because of money. You don't organize. I've heard people say that they do programs, they don't go down and do programs so that they will get money to do this one. It's foolishness. It's what? He gets some kind of wisdom. Anyway, I can't discuss the details now. There are kinds of wisdom, all right, that I don't need. I have read the scriptures enough to know that they're not necessary. So if we ask according to his will, that's what he's talking about. It's not as if we now start praying, God, should we open a church or not? That prayer is legitimate under certain circumstances. But at that point, it's not legitimate. It is clearly out of the will of God. Why? Because the thing that's pushing us is what? Money. Now, it doesn't mean we are wicked, though. Because some argument is that, after all, we're not trying to do anything with it. We want to use it to preach. So, in summary, this is the summary, all right? This is how you know whether it's true, or whether it's good or bad. It's very simple. It's very, very simple, all right? Before I give the summary. Or let's forget the summary. This is how you know whether it's good or it's bad. Carry the microphone. You did the church. I say, praise the Lord. I'm happy all of you have come. You know why we have gathered? So that you can bring your money so we can do the will of God. If that church grew, come and tell me. This is my point. If you can honestly open your mind and say, praise God. Oh, I'm so happy this church is growing. We're doing ministry. The money was not enough. So we realized that if we can gather all of you to be coming on Sundays, the money will be enough. And I want all of you to join this church so you can be donating enough money for us to do what we want to do. If you can't say it like that, don't try it. If you cannot say it like that, don't try it. That's why we open unnecessary branches. They say there's no money in Enugu. So we open a branch in Lagos so that we can use the money in Lagos to do the work in Enugu. God is good. Somebody say amen. I always like to add my testimony in case somebody is listening to this. I refused those doctrines before Kingdom was started. After Kingdom was started, I further rejected them. Until today, I cannot believe those kind of things. And listen, it's always a testimony for me. From Ghana, we get mails. Ask Inka, he mails our materials to Ghana. And we have not opened branch in Lagos to look for money to reach them in Ghana. Are you getting my point? I have had people send me, look, somebody came one day and said, my friend said I should give you $100. He sent from the United States. A man said, the first man that got our materials from Ghana, he said we should send all our messages, even if pastor coughs, they should record that cough and send it to him. I'm not joking, no. That's not supposed to be a joke. The last set that Yenka sent to Ghana, the guy said he's at least 3 hours away from Accra. The only people who could deliver materials to him without being too expensive, he said he would travel to Accra to go and collect it. Oh, sorry, it's not free. You know, I know the same. So if you want free message, download it. It's free for download. You can share it. But for me to run up and down, no. The guys will send money to Nigeria. Yinka will package their CDs and their books and, you know, courier it to them. I haven't gone to Abuja to go and beg for money. And they watched us on TV. That's the point. Listen. If God has to start TV stations that have headquarters in Enugu, who will air me for free? He will. Not going to be so smart as to go and open branch in Johannesburg because I'm looking for who will send me money in forex. Now in the cost quarrel, apostle. Now that is the cost quarrel. So if you now send a pastor to Lagos now, if he tries to convert that branch, you will curse him with a covenant. The will of God. That's what we mean by the will of God. It's not the, has God spoken to you to go and open the branch? That one can come up. But right now, it is, why do you need a branch? Some people need a branch so they can collect title. One guy called the other day. He said, am I speaking to the bishop or I'm talking to Yinka? I said, I think you're talking to Yinka because there's no bishop in this place. That was the guy that called me in Benin. So is that the bishop? If one of my friends arrived, hey, he said, the bishop. I said, which kind of TV is this one? There are men who are fighting for that title. And since you cannot be the bishop when you have only a small congregation in one small town, to qualify for that title, you got to have a number of branches. So, you see aggressive branching. You know, ameba branching, binary fission. What's the guy looking for? Title. So one day I traveled. I was at the airport. We went to go and minister in Sokoto. There's another man that came to minister in Sokoto. We were also at the airport. We were about to do the same time. And he was sitting down coolly with his hair shining. You know, they comb the thing well oiled. They shine like this. With a shiny suit. And his hands crossed in one very holy fashion. Sitting with all sobriety. So my friend, my host pastor, you know, so the host pastor who brought out that guy said, what are you doing? I said, I came to escort Bishop. I know. You are the bishop in my mind. So I told my friend, hey, from now on, I'm an archbishop. So when I said, look, title. So you see every day, in the name of Jesus, this branch shall grow. The idea, oh boy, grow now so now I can break up into two. If you guys don't increase the number quick enough, I will not be a bishop. You will preach all kinds of messages. That prayer is what? Out of the will of God. All the prayers, pray God, bring souls. You say your concern is not for soul. Your concern is for title. And there's no law in Nigeria against title. Just go and call yourself bishop. Anybody go hold you? Why are you now putting men in bondage because they are looking for title? I go enjoy you. I hope you're following what I'm saying. This will of God thing is what I'm trying to explain. It's as we learn the word of God. There's one scripture I wanted to learn. I wanted to preach today. That's why I wanted to use the foundation, but it went the way it went, so we thank God for it. Daniel said, one day came, I, Daniel, understood by books. Understood by what? Books. It's by reading. Daniel chapter 9. I understood by books. Let me just read it and then we'll close with it. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you're following me. So when we're talking about the will of God, we learn and become in tune with the will of God. It's not just about specific knowledge, about specific decisions under certain situations. The will of God becomes an attitude. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, in chapter 2, verse 2, it says, I, Daniel, observed in the books. King James says, understood by books. The number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem. Namely, 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Let me stop here. That it was not just by desire. It was by what? Understanding. Somebody say understanding. Understanding. It wasn't just by desire. It was by what? It was what he read that gave him understanding. And that became the foundation for his prayer. When we're talking about understanding the prophetic, I'll continue in it next time I speak on that. So, because we need to understand sometimes, I think I said it the other time, that it's not every time we pray nice prayers. And that's one thing I want to research into properly. I think part of the problem in Nigeria of today is that the Christians have not learned to pray the proper prayers based on understanding of what God says about the situation. Because like we said, God's prophets, without them, God can do nothing. Without them, he does nothing. So if they never prophesy judgment, judgment will never come. And if judgment is what is required for the cleansing of the earth will be polluted. And if the earth is polluted, eventually it vomits everybody, the prophets included. Normally what God does for the prophets, his prophets, in showing them mercy, he extracts them first, but they too, they are going. Because there are different ways by which you can depart from a land. You can depart in peace or you can depart in a hurry. Do you understand my point? When Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be smoked, there was mercy on a Lot and his household. But they had to live in a hurry with nothing. And we don't want that to happen. If you want it to happen, if you want it to happen in Nigeria, say amen. Thank you. I'm so happy you did not say the amen. Some of you opened your mouth and said, hey. You refuse to bring it down. Because you don't want it to happen. So God is saying, if you don't, you know what, children of Israel? Let me tell you something. Talking about understanding by books and praying properly. And we'll talk about the prophesying one later. Prophesying prophetically. You know what I mean? Prophesying prophetically. Not just desires. All right? You know what, children of Israel? Say, when you get to that land, I'm taking you to a land. When you get there, there are a lot of wicked people there. They do this, they do this, they do that. He warned them. You will destroy everything. You will destroy everybody. There are times he said to them, clear, don't spare even their animals. Destroy man, woman, child, born or unborn. Kill everybody. He said, don't let your eyes show them mercy. You know, it was like, I'm warning you. If you do, they will become the source of, let me put my own word, I can't remember the exact word he used now. They will become the source of rottenness in your midst. And that which I wanted to do to them, I will have to do to you. So he warned them, don't let your eyes show them mercy. He warned. I know what God was saying. We can't go into all of those things. God is very kind. Did I hear an amen? He's not wicked at all. So what if there are some good people there? God said, I will have removed them before you arrive. That's what he does. He will warn those few good people. You pack, 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 travel. There are some he will warn deliberately. Some he will just make they'll just hear noise. Hey, my grandfather sent for me. He said the house in the village has collapsed. Hey, what kind of collapse is this now? You pack and travel. And find that it's only a portion of the house that fell. He will spend 1 or 2 weeks to fix it. And there he will hear the news that the land from which he left, all right, has been totally destroyed, everybody wiped out. But the point I want to make is this. The Jews were not permitted to be more lenient than God was. Because God had calculated what he was doing. Listen, we'll get down to it one day. There are times we have to sit down, or more like stand up, take our scriptures, and prophesy some kinds of wicked, in quote, words upon the land. Which, I don't know whether that is part of the message, Israel, do as your spirit leads. I'm closing now, all right? One thing I believe the prophecy, but I've not been able to use it to pray. And that's the word of the Lord that came by the mouth of Tunde Bakare concerning the renewing of Nigeria. It's frightening. I'm not going to pray with it or about it for now because I don't understand it. But I heard it directly from his mouth and it's frightening. And in fact, the execution of it, if the thing begins, I will rush down here, call an emergency meeting and tell everybody, don't panic, go home, don't worry. Because sometimes, you know what we do is that you think that the only way towards peace is peaceable. You understand my point? No, the way of peace is not always, you know, peaceable. Because many of the things we desire in life, God says, listen, the people that spoil it, there's only one way I can handle them. Should I handle them? I say, no, that won't be good. I say, okay, no, leave it like that now. The thing will continue to spoil. Why did I say all of that? He said, I understood, I observed, I saw it in the books, not according to my desire. It's the judgment written that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about what I want. Do you understand? Like you hear me say it all the time. For example, I quote Isaiah chapter 6 verse 12. I said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It was something I read. I understood it from somewhere. I read it from the scriptures. For that reason, it forms my mind, it forms my thinking, it forms my understanding. It forms the way I pray. That's what I'm trying to explain. The Lord is good? I said, the Lord is good. I hope you understood what the word was. Bible was going to talk about the will of God now. That's what I'm trying to bring out. And that's, I hope I did, I hope I was able to explain that. If I didn't finish, I'll think about it. I'll finish it next time. All right, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Let's just bow down our heads over a short time. Let's just quickly bow down our heads. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you because your word is good, because you are kind, because you love us, and because our lives, Lord, our lives are in your hands. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Lord, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. give us understanding and we shall live. Enlighten our hearts. Make our eyes clear. Let us decode and understand truth from your word. And let those things form the basis of our prayers. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.